You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend. Welcome to Book Lovers Cafe. Book Lovers Cafe is a program of author interviews and book reviews from around the Sound and beyond. I'm your host, Chris Wilson. Today, I'm so excited. I've been waiting quite a while to talk to our author and illustrator, Faith Prey. She's from the Pacific Northwest, as her bio says, but we know she's from right here on the Quinfer Peninsula. I also know that she has twins and two more kids and two cats, which I think are always in her brain. Today, we're going to be reviewing her first solo book, The Starkeeper, published by Random House. Wow. Random House, right out of the box. You can hear her giggling in the background, so I better introduce her. Faith, welcome to Book Lovers Cafe.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here right in the studio. So I think we should begin. The book is called The Starkeeper, and I'd love you to read a little bit from it. If you want to talk about what you're going to read first, that's great. If not, just start reading.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. The world had been dark for a long time. Rainy, lonely, dark. Every morning, the girl fed the fish and waited for things to be different. But every morning, the world stayed the same. On one especially wet day, the girl got tired of waiting. She made an enormous wish. She wished the lonely dark away. What was this? A star. It was beautiful and warm and perfect. She longed to keep it for herself, but the girl could tell that the star didn't want to be kept hidden. It needed the girl to help it shine.
That was wonderful. And it really, I wish everyone could see the pictures. And if you will be able to see the pictures soon. You can see some of them online, and we'll talk more about that later. But I'd like to share two really great reviews that this book, The Starkeeper, got. This is from Kirkus Reviews. It lets readers know of their inherent power to bring about positive change no matter what their size. And also from American Library Association Book List, a fabulesque tale with elegant touches and eloquent touches. Show the effect of caring, sharing, and connection, and what it can have on individuals and a community overall. It's overall uplifting, and I have to say that it is overall uplifting. It's a rainy story. Because our town is kind of a rainy place. We're here in July, and it's another one of just of those calm and peaceful days with a little bit of drizzle in the air. Well, let's go back to finding out more about the book and how it came to be. So, Faith, tell us where this all began. Was it writing? Was it drawing? Tell us about you.
Oh, well, as a child in a family of artists and writers. I guess it sort of started in the beginning when I first learned how to write, or actually before I could write, I was drawing. And so I've been making up my own stories since I was little. And I would, when I was about 10, fifth grade, middle school, I made poetry books for my friends and family and illustrated them and gave them out to people I knew. And then when I was in high school, I wrote stories and sent them to editors, hoping that they would end up getting published. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was in my mind. But then after high school, I did some traveling and some humanitarian aid work, and I kind of drifted away from writing. And then I got back into it when I was pregnant with twins, actually.
Started writing. Yeah, so much time on your hands.
So much time. I know. Well, I was on bed rest with twins, so I had lots of time to sit and write.
And now you've traveled around the world by the time you start to write again.
Yes.
So you have a lot more experiences.
Yeah,
I think colors.
So, for sure. Yes.
Okay, so brave of you to, you know, send things off. But let's reveal now who your father is.
Oh, yes. Well, Richard Jesse Watson, he's a pretty well-known author and illustrator of mm-hmm. picture books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we've had the delight of having him here in the studio as well. And so you had, you know, a vision of what it was like to have to work from home, to be in a studio, yes. and to write and or, mm-hmm. you know, illustrate other people's words. Mm-hmm. So then there was a big scary event in your life, and that changed yes. your direction again. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, so I was writing, then I had the twins, and then two more. And so I was always writing a little in the corners of time. And then I homeschooled my kids for a while. And during that time, I had a stroke and months of ill health. And I kept thinking that my time was almost up. And during that season, I couldn't really get my head back into writing again. I guess that's not an uncommon thing when you're going through a rough patch. I had heart surgery to patch a hole in my heart. And then my health started to get a lot better. But I still couldn't get back into writing. So I took illustration classes in visual illustration as a way to hopefully find stories again. And through those classes, I fell in love with picture books. I'd never really thought of them as a writer, that they would be for me. I mean, I loved to write, and I had worked on writing novels, but I never really thought I could write picture books.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just loved the way illustration and words wove together, and I kind of realized that I could use pictures as sort of a therapy, as a way to get back into writing and stories.
Mm-hmm. Could you mind me asking where you took these classes, or was it here, or did yeah. you go away? Or?
Actually, I took them online through the University of California, San Diego mm-hmm. Extension Program.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a couple classes with Professor Joy Chu and got to hear some great input on storytelling in a visual format.
Okay, I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in that. And now the process of this, you know, you've jumped into doing picture books or doing illustration. Tell us about how this particular book, The Starkeeper, what inspired it and its story, and go into a little bit about how it got published.
Okay, great.
That's kind of two questions, but.
Well, let's see. I guess as I pursued illustration, I was contacted by a literary agent from New York, Molly O'Neill with Root Literary Agency. And she asked if I was interested in making books. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. yes, definitely. So then over a couple of years, I spent time developing stories and my art craft a little bit before I felt like I was ready to approach her and say, well, actually, here are some ideas that I think might maybe be stories. And she looked at them. And one of the stories was about a girl and a polar bear. So when my youngest daughter, who is 9, when she was turning 3, she asked me to go to the North Pole and bring home a bear. She really wanted a bear. And I loved the idea of that. But of course, I can't keep a goldfish alive. I'm just trying to keep those 4 kids alive, right? So, and obviously, I can't bring home a bear. So I started drawing that bear and that little girl. And I sent this story to Molly O'Neill, who's now my agent. And she said, you know, this is a fun story, but what's the heart of it? What's the story you need to tell? And so I started exploring that polar bear and the girl, and then I started adding in dragons, and I think there was a cat and a lighthouse. And
so it became a quest story.
It became an epic story.
An epic tale.
But then I sort of, and then she was like, well, you know, you can't tell all the stories at once. So you got to pick the one. And that's where I sort of, I think I realized that it was actually a story that needed to be about this lost thing that needed to find a place to shine. And I kept picturing this dull thing that needed its place. And and the girl needed to help it.
Mm-hmm. And see, this isn't just a children's story. It's such an allegory for all of us about how we all feel kind of dull and little, and what can we do in this world.
I think so.
That's why this book is not just for children, but also for everyone. It's great. So your own children did influence and still do probably influence your art and your ideas. Who are some of your other influencers, or what other artists or picture book writers do you admire?
Oh, well.
I know, there's a lot.
Of course, my dad and my brothers are all inspiring to me, and they all are writers and well, my brother Jesse, Joshua Watson, mm-hmm. is an illustrator too, and my brother Ben is an author. But I'm also inspired by the author Kate DiCamillo, who isn't necessarily, well, I think she's done a couple picture books, but mainly is a middle grade author, and I love her work.
Mm-hmm.
I also grew up loving work by Trina Shart Hyman.
Me too. Oh, me too.
Her illustrations just so inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I actually currently am excited about a couple new books that I've recently bought. One is called Your Name is a Song by Jamila Tompkins Bigelow, and it's illustrated by Luisa Uribe. And I just received it in the mail today, and it's gorgeous, a beautiful, beautiful book. And also another author illustrator who I really recommend to anybody is OJ Mora. And she wrote a book, Thank You, Omu, and it's beautiful. Anyway, so those are two inspirations to me.
Mm-hmm. And I will endeavor to get those books into the words on the podcast page so that people will be able to see those in print and be able to find them. And by then, our library should have them as well.
Yes.
So there you go. Well, wonderful. So give us a peek into your studio. What does it look like in there? What have you got? Tell us about what the essentials are, both analog and digital, in your life.
Oh, I love that. Well, so as a mom of four kids, I feel like one of my most essential tools is a pair of fluffy koala earmuffs that I wear. And I know that sounds really goofy, and it looks goofy too, but I put the earmuffs on and it kind of dampens the sound. My studio is in a daylight basement, so I work underneath everybody and it sounds like elephants walking around. Mm-hmm. So the earmuffs help. And then other important tools in the studio: sketchbooks and pencils. That would be, if I couldn't have anything else, sketchbooks and pencils would be my most essential tool.
What kind of pencils do you like?
Well, I really like Blackwing. They're Palomino Blackwing pencils. And they have an eraser that's attached. So you don't lose your eraser, which
and
I
it works.
Do a lot.
It does. Eraser works.
Yeah. So I would say those are my favorite pencils to use. But then I also use colored pencils a lot. Colored pencils by Prisma mm-hmm. Colors, and also Aquarelle Super Soft. They're like a watercolor pencil.
And what size sketchbook do you like to work in?
Ooh, I like that. Well, I am really picky about my paper, actually. It's Strathmore, and it's the 400 series, I think. And it's just a brown cover, and the size is about a 9x12. And this, I think, just because it's my habit. But I like a nice, smooth, almost entirely smooth, but still a little gritty surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it in that size because it's small enough to fit on a lap, so that I can
sketch
forever.
So those are your sketchbooks with the pencils. Now that paper can't take watercolor.
Not very well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing work for like a book, it would be on a board, like Strathmore board.
Okay. So it's not going to wrinkle up.
Yeah.
For us amateurs.
Like an illustration board. Yeah.
Right. Okay. What else is in there? Pencils, colored pencils?
Pencils and colored pencils.
Earmuffs.
Watercolor pencils. Earmuffs. An eraser is helpful too. Mm-hmm. And then post-it notes are important to me. Hmm. I use post-it notes on when I'm making notes when I'm reading books. I have lots of picture books in my studio just as inspiration, other people's picture books. I work on new story ideas with post-it notes or sticky notes. So I can write ideas down and move them around with sticky notes. And then I have a laptop, a MacBook, that I work in Photoshop. And so I use Photoshop, and then I just recently purchased a Wacom tablet, which is it'll communicate with my computer, and I can use a pen on it, like a digital pencil. Once I finish an illustration, I scan it into the computer, then I edit it with Photoshop.
Okay, so you can add all kinds of different treatments on top.
Yes.
And do you add more color or more depth, or what kinds of things do you do with Photoshop that changes your watercolor pencil drawing?
Sure. It's a good question, because, a piece will get finished and it'll look okay. And then I put it into Photoshop and I'll heighten the contrast and I'll heighten the black line work so that it pulls out a little bit more. And then a lot of times, like for this book, The Starkeeper, there's a lot of darkness and light. So I add a glaze in Photoshop that'll darken the whole page. But then I can erase parts where I want it lighter, or I can heighten the light. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of kind of like an overall wash in Photoshop.
Right. I think one of the wonderful things about Starkeeper is, even though the story gets brighter and brighter, more hopeful, it is still, in a rainy town. And you created this town, I think I read that you actually built a little block town to help you. Did you?
I did. Boy, you researched me really well. Yeah, I built a block city because I wanted to make sure that I remembered which streets had which stores, shops, and I wanted to make sure that I remembered where they were all located.
Well, you have some right, center of town type drawings, spreads, you call them, and then you've got some where you're out of town and up on a hill. So, yes. You can see the town from various viewpoints. Anyway, we're getting into a little bit of detail here. So we are talking, in case you're wondering, we are talking to Faith Prey, and she is an author of children's books and a wonderful artist illustrator. And we're talking mostly about her current book, her debut book that she did both the writing and the illustrating, called The Starkeeper. And it's a children's book for everyone in a dark time. Okay, what are you working on now? What's in the future for you? I think you've got it rolling out ahead of you here, Faith.
I do.
Let's talk about one project at a time.
Okay, let's see. So the next book in line for me is, it's a book called Perfectly Imperfect Mira, and it's going to be coming out with Little Brown in 2022. So I'm working now on the illustrations for that one. And that book is about a girl who wants to be good at something, but everyone else is already better.
Yes, so how true.
So it's a story in growth mindset, which was really fun to work on in the writing sense of it, because writing and revising is a growth mindset situation. So you're always thinking about how to make something better and learning how to love the process.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you need to be the encouraging mom for your own kids that way, when they just say, oh, well, I can't do that? Do they want to be perfect?
Definitely. This one is for sure inspired by my kids.
And then I imagine also your family, you mentioned that, there are writers and illustrators, but they each have such a different style.
Yes.
So that's exciting, and that you're not trying to, be as, just as wonderful as they are. You're your own wonderful person and your own style. So that's really something to keep your mind on. So this book, again, I forgot to ask you, because as I was reading it in the last few weeks, it just seems to resonate with right now. How do you sense that too? How do you think that this book, The Starkeeper, is a book for our time in our historical moment?
I think it is very much a book for our time. You know, I didn't realize it when I was writing it, but the more I look at it, when I was searching for the story of my heart to write this book about, I think without even realizing it, I was writing about that after I had that, after I had the stroke, my post-stroke darkness, so to speak. And, you know, I think like all of us have times of darkness. And I mean, The Star Keeper is about a girl who wants to make a difference in the dark world around her. And it's about a lost star that needs the girl to help it shine. And in a way, I think that's all of us, right? We were talking about that earlier. But in darkness, we still have one last light we can give. Even if there's nothing that you see around you, you still have one last light to give. And that's whatever gifts you have that come out of you.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, this health crisis that's been happening for us, there are small, very small gifts that are being given every day. Just, you know, as yes. if, as the child in the story is.
Yes.
So all of us have our little something that we can do to make the day brighter for someone.
That's right. That's so right.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here we are, and your work, you've worked on Perfectly Imperfect Mira, and also I'm very interested in another book that you are working on, or maybe you have finished, with another writer.
Yes.
And tell us about that one.
That is called One Day by Joanna Ho, and that'll be coming out with HarperCollins Books, and I think it's in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually just starting the illustrations for that book. And it's going to be a lovely, I'm excited about it. It's an exploration of boys and moms and boys. And it's sort of dismantling toxic masculinity in a very gentle way.
Oh, wonderful. I'm a mother of boys and a grandmother of boys. So I'll look forward to seeing that One Day with by Joanna Ho and illustrated by Faith Prey. That's super. You know, I also wanted to talk to you about diversity, because that's a topic that is, you know, everybody's thinking about at top of mind now.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in Starkeeper that the heroine, the protagonist, she is a girl of some ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about how you arrive at, well, the way a character's face looks or the colors that you paint them.
Oh, sure. Well, my husband is Korean, and so our kids are Korean, and they're also white. And so from the very beginnings for them, and honestly, probably before that, because I wanted to include the people that I saw around me. And also, I had a chance to work in the schools for a couple years, and I wanted to include every kid that I met in the books that I got to make. And I didn't, growing up, I didn't really see that in books. Many books, the main characters that I grew up with anyway, many books had white protagonists, and it just felt like it was time to start including the world that I saw around
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I became a mom of kids who were of mixed ethnicity, I wanted them to feel included in books, and I wanted their friends to be included in books. So that's where I guess that comes from, is just wanting to see and include everyone I see and make sure they get a chance in the light.
I want to mention Faith has a website, faithpraybooks.com. And on this website, not only can you see her studio, but you can also, there are some activities and some picture pages and ways to make puppets and bookmarks. And that was so wonderful. Keep doing that, Faith.
Okay.
I love those. I've already got them saved on my computer.
Oh, great.
And I just want to thank you so much. Before we leave, is there some book that you're reading now that you'd love to recommend to people or talk about?
Oh, let's see. I just started a book called Goldie Vance, The Hotel Whodunit. And it's a middle grade, kind of a mystery adventure. It's by Lillian Rivera. And it's pretty exciting. I like it.
Think boys and girls would like it?
I think so. And I just finished Tristan Strong Punches a Hole in the Sky by Kwame Mbalia. And that one is fabulous for lovers of Percy Jackson books. That's also a middle grade.
Yes. Okay. Lovers of Percy Jackson books. Okay. So we will get those, you know, they'll be on the podcast page and you'll be able to see what Faith Pray has been reading. And right now it's time to say you've been listening to Book Lovers Cafe, a program for everyone who hasn't read everything. Today, we talked to Faith Pray, who's the author of The Star Keeper. I'd love it if you would join me next time to talk more about books and authors. I'm your host, Chris Wilson. You can listen to past shows and other programs from the podcast page on the website, kpdz.org. You can also make a donation to the station as well. Thank you very much, Alex Henley, for being the engineer today, and Carl Allen, who's the editor who will smooth out all the rough edges. Thanks to all the volunteers and supporters who make this radio station possible.
All my relations come, every nation come, all my relations under the sun. We are one, we are praying, come, we are praying, come, we are the song and we are the drum, we are one, we are the river, come, we are the river, come. We are the boat, the paddle, the shore. We are one. Mini Wachoni, sing the Kuyo, yes. Mini Wachoni, sing.